Today's shir is Daf Kuf. We're going to start two lines from the bottom of Tzadik Tesam Beis. Amarava, pshitali, it's obvious to me, mayim al gabe mayim, if you have water, you have a pit of water, you have an ocean, hayno nechasen, that's where water belongs. So if you pick water up from water, in other words, to do an akira, the first thing to be able to do in akira is that it has to be munach, it has to be in a state of rest prior to the akira. So if you have a whole bucket of water and you're taking water from the tap, it's considered at rest. Ego is a gabamayim, but if you pick up a walnut floating on water, lav hayna nechasen, it's not considered at rest. And since it's not considered at rest, you can't have an akira without something being at rest previously. Since this is not considered at rest, you can never have a situation of haitzah when you pick up this walnut. So there's a machlokes rishonim, why? Some rishonim learn because water, by definition, is constantly in the state of motion. And if something's in state of motion, something laying on it can't be considered at rest. If something's at rest and something that's in a state of motion, by definition, it's not at rest. Other Rishonim, Hasada, Rambam, and Ravid learn, they say the reason it's not considered at rest, it's not considered an Akira, is because water is not considered a significant place. Again, going back to what we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, you have to make an Akira from a specific choshuva place. Water is not considered something that's like a dalet al dalet or a choshuva place that you could do an akira from water. What's going to be a nafgamina between these two pshatim? So the stipulus has a nice nafgamina. What's going to be if you have a stationary body of water? If the thing is because water is not considered a choshuva place, so it makes no difference if the water is stationary or in motion. But if the thing is because the water is in motion, that's only water that's in motion. Water that's stationary, you would be able to do an akira even from water. And a walnut on water, there would be a situation of haitzah. And we may use this today again. By Rava. So now Rava asked the following question. Ego is bekli. You have a walnut in a container. Vekli tzofa gabemayim. And that container is floating on the water. So there's a lot of ways of learning this Gemara. The simplest way of learning is like this. If you picked up the keli itself, if you picked up the container, it certainly would not be considered an akira, because a container on water is no different than a walnut on water. But now what happened is you picked up the walnut. Do we say that the walnut is in the keli, and in the keli a walnut is considered in a state of rest? Or do I say that I view the walnut as if it's on the water, and we just started the walnut on the water is not considered at rest? Mahu. Mi amrin bosa ego is linen. We look at the walnut for anayach. It's in a container, like anything else that's in a container. Oidim bosa kli is linen. The walnut is part of the container, and the container is on water for haloi nayach. Other Rishonim say, certainly if you pick up the walnut, you'll be chayiv. The question is, if you'll pick up the keli with the walnut in it, do we say that you're picking up the keli and you're potter, or do we say that you're picking up the walnut and you're chayiv? That's a different way to Rishonim learn. Teiku. One point as Fasemis makes, a very nice, obvious point. He says, what's going to be if you have a container full of water with the walnut in that container, and that container is on the water? So certainly you won't be chayiv, because no matter where you look at it, the walnut's in water. It's if you look at the keli, so the walnut's in water in the keli. If you look at the keli is on the water. Shem el gabi yayin. What about oil floating on wine? So first of all, we're going to say fact. Oil always floats to the top. And truthfully, the Gemara's Shaila, the Rishonim say, could have been even with oil on top of water. The reason the Gemara asks a Shaila with oil on top of wine, because the Gemara is going to quote a Mishnah where there it only could be applicable by oil on wine. Machloikis Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Rabbanim. Says the Gemara, it's a machloikis. Will that be considered the oil is one with the wine, or is it considered oil is floating on the wine? Tatnan. Shemesh atzofa gabayayin. if you have oil floating on wine, v'nagot for yoyim b'shemen. So the halacha is like this. If somebody was really tamei, he wasn't just a tefil yoyim. What's a tefil yoyim? Tefil yoyim we explained many times, is somebody who was tamei, went to the mikveh, but has to wait for Harav Shemesh. So it's a very low level of tumah. So if, let's explain the Gemara outside, if we consider the oil and wine one entity, so if you touch the oil, it's like you touch the wine, and the wine will also become tamei. But if we look at the oil and the wine as two separate entities, then even though the oil became tamei, it became tamei in a very low level of tumah. Why did it become a low level of tumah? Because the person touching it is only a tefil yoyim, and it won't have the ability to pass on tumah to a new entity, the wine. And that's why we're talking specifically about a tefil yoyim, which gives a very low level of tumah. Because it would be really tamei, then the wine will be tamei, even if it's one entity with the oil or not. Because if it's one entity, it's certainly tamei. And if it's not one entity, it becomes tamei, and then it makes the wine tamei. So again, the tefil yoyim touch the oil that's on top of the wine. V'naga tefil yoyim b'shemen, the tefil yoyim touch that oil. L'pasa al shemen, only affects the oil. Why? Because I look at the oil and the wine as two separate entities. Rami Yochanan and Nuri Yomer, shneim chibuz al zeh, they're considered one entity. One point the Rishonim make, the Paiskim make, even if we're having a discussion here, if something floating is considered connected or not, that's only as far as Hilchos Shabbos is concerned. But normally, in all other halachas, we say Rochav Lav K'mahalach, something that's in a state of motion is not considered at rest, as far as other halachas. For example, we learned in Masechta Brachos, you're supposed to stop when you're davening. When you're riding, it's not considered like you're in a state of stop. Just to review a Gemara that we learned yesterday. Yesterday, one of the last Gemaras we learned was a Shaila Rabbi Yochanan asked. Rabbi Yochanan asked a question like this. If somebody has a bor, has a pit that's 10 tefachim deep, so it's Rishus HaYochid, and he puts a clump of earth into that bor, and by putting that clump of earth, it's no longer 10 tefachim deep. So what do we say? Do we say that it loses its Rishus HaYochid status at the same time that I did the Hanacha, and therefore I didn't do a Malacha? Or do I say, or don't I say that? The Gemara we had yesterday. Amar Abaye. In the Gemara we're going to learn right now, there are two ways the Rishonim learn the Gemara. We're going to learn the Gemara the way the Me'iri learns the Gemara. Amar Abaye. Bar b'shus rabim amuka asara. The bar is 10 tefachim deep, and the Me'iri says it's more than 10 tefachim deep. Of a v'rechav shmoina, it's exactly 8 amos wide, the zorot l'toich machzelis, and somebody threw a mat into it. Chayiv. Why? Because even if he threw the mat and the mat lessened the depth of the bar, but the Me'iri is explaining that we're dealing with a bar that's more than 10 deep. So even after you take the mat in the bar, it's still in a rishus yochid. So you're certainly chayiv. What about chilkim machzelis? If you divided the bar, you put the mat right in the smack in the middle, so now you don't have any rishus hayochid because it's less than 4 on either side of the mat. Potter. The halacha is potter. Obviously, what's Abaye saying? And that's what the Gemara is going to comment on in a moment. That the question Rabbi Yochanan asked yesterday, Abaye answered. Labaya pshitalei. To Abaye, who says the machzelos mevatel mechitzta, that we say that putting in the mat says that it's no longer rishus hayochid, and even though it happens simultaneous with the putting in the mat and the losing the name of rishus hayochid, certainly he'll say by a chulya, which Rabbi Yochanan asked yesterday, koshken chulya the mevatel mechitzta. Why? Because what belongs more in a pit, a clump of earth or a mat? Certainly a clump of earth. So if a clump of earth, if a mat has the power of making it lose the status of Rishus HaYochid, certainly Abaye will say that a clump of earth has the ability of making it lose the status of Rishus HaYochid. The question, now says the Gemara, another comment. Rabbi Yochanan, who had the question yesterday by a Cholyo, Machzelis, Pshitat Loi Mevatel Mechitzta. He'll say, my question was limited, says the Gemara, to a clump of earth. Why was it limited to clump of earth? Because a clump of earth belongs in the pit. So possibly, that makes it lose the status of Rishus HaYochid. However, a machzelis, which doesn't belong necessarily in a pit, will certainly not make it lose the status of Rishus HaYochid, and it will be considered that you did Haitzah, because the mat isn't there permanently either, anyway. Another halacha. That's the way the Meiri learns the Gemara. The chiddush you have to learn in the Meiri is that it's not a mukah asara, it's really deeper than asara. Asara, we were thinking, means exactly asara. He says it's deeper than asara. The Rashford learns another pshat, that something that's put on the bottom is certainly not meant to stay, and that's why even Abayi will agree that on the bottom it will not lessen the depth of the bar on a permanent basis. Bar Abayi, another halacha. Bar Rishus Rabim, you have a bar Rishus Rabim, a mukah asara, if it's 10 tefachim deep, rechava arba, meleya mayim, but it's full of water. V'zorak l'toychoy, and somebody throws something from the Rishus Rabim into that bar, chayiv. In other words, the fact that this pit is full of water does not make it lose the status of Rishus HaYochid. However, meleya peiris, if it's full of fruit, v'zorak l'toychoy potter. If it's full of fruit, and then it does lose the status of Rishus HaYochid. My tama, why? My aloy mevatl mechitzta. Water doesn't make it lose the status. Peris mevatl mechitzta. Now the question is why. Very big machlokes rishonim in this also. The Meiri learns pshat because when he says a physical fact, when you have liquid and you throw something in, it could still hit the floor. When you have a solid and you throw something in, it blocks whatever you're throwing in from hitting the floor. That's how the Meiri learns. The Rambam learns different pshat. The Rambam says is when you have liquid, you could still see the walls. However, when you have a solid, they block you from seeing the walls. What's going to be the nafkamina? There are going to be a few nafkaminas. What's going to be if you have dirty water? Murky water. If the thing is that you have to see the wall, you can't see the wall. If the point is that whatever you throw in could hit the bottom, just because the water is dirty, you could still hit the bottom. Or, there's another nafkamina, the Prima Gadim says. What's going to be if the bar is full of transparent articles? It's full of glass. It's full of ice. If the vart is that you could see the sides, so even though it's full of solids, you could still see the sides. If the thing is that it can't penetrate, you can't penetrate ice, you can't penetrate glass that's transparent, it's still solids. And there's a very interesting Chassam Sofer, not very relevant to us, but it was a different world. Chassam Sofer says that there was a world where people went to the mikveh in a lake, Shabbos morning, and they had to break the ice. So if a bar full of ice was saying now, even though you could see the walls, but because it's a solid, according to Meiri, is not a Rishus HaYochid, because you have to break the ice, so you would not be allowed to break the ice on Shabbos, because you're making a mechitza. So he tells a person that wants to go into a freezing cold mikveh, he has a problem, because he can't break the ice. I don't know how many people have that shaila. Now, there's one very fundamental question, something that we asked at the beginning, something we come back to the beginning of the shiur. It says here that if you throw something into the bar Moli Mayim, it's considered that you threw it into Rishus HaYochid. Ask the Achroinim, what was the first thing we learned today, Shir? That if you pick an egoiz off Mayim, it's not considered you took it off from a place that's Munach. Why? Because you can't make Hanocha on Mayim. So ask all the Achroinim, even if you'll say, whatever explanation you'll give, that a place full of water is still considered a Rishus HaYochid. But to be chayiv for hoitzah, you have to make a hanocha. And we said you can't have a hanocha on mayim. So how do you have a hanocha here? So the stipler says, according to what the stipler said at the beginning of the shiur, there's a difference if the water is a motion or the water is stationary. He'll explain that we're talking about water that's stationary. And therefore you can't have a hanocha. The Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky in the Chazon Yecheskel says a beautiful teretz. Something that it's a concept that we introduced yesterday, and we'll still use that concept again. It's Tosfos really at the beginning of Masechta. He says that an akira is much more of a significant act than a hanocha, and the reason is very obvious. Akira starts the malacha, a hanocha just finishes the malacha. The Gemara we began with at the beginning of the shiur, you're picking an egoiz off the mayim. You want to do an akira. To do an akira, it has to be right. And if it's not, if it's on Mayim, you can't have a real Akira. Here we're not talking about an akira. Here we're talking about doing a hanoch into mayim. Doing a hanoch is a lot easier to accomplish than accomplishing an akira, and therefore, even though you're depositing into water, it will still be considered a hanoch. Tanya nami hochi, says the Gemara, hazorik minayam lasratya. If somebody throws from water into a highway, om nesratu liyam potter. If the pit full of water has the dimensions of Rishus HaYochid Chayiv. So what do you see from Reb Shimon? That if something has the dimensions of Rishus HaYochid, it retains, and it's full of water, it's still Rishus HaYochid. Ask all the Rishonim, instead of proving for Reb Shimon, why don't you ask a kasha from the Tanakhama? The Tanakhama says, Merayam Lasratya Yepater. So isn't the Tanakh saying that a pit full of water is not a Rishus HaYochid? So we're bringing a proof from Reb Shimon, but we have a kasha from the Tanakh. So some Rishonim say that Reb Shimon isn't arguing with the Tanakh. Reb Shimon is explaining the Tanakh, and Reb Shimon is explaining that the Tanakh only meant if the bar is full of peiros, not if it's full of water. That's how some Rishonim learn. Other Rishonim say that the Tanakh is not talking about the typical pit. A typical pit, the Tanakhama will, full of water, Tanakhama will agree, is a Rishus HaYochid. However, here we're talking, the Tanakhama is speaking about a situation where you have a depression in the sea. So since it's, you have the big sea, which we said is a karmless, and we'll say it many times still, and this is just a depression in the sea, it can't, even though it has the dimensions, but it's part of the sea, and it doesn't get the shame Rishus HaYochid. Others say the same teretz with a different twist. They say, based on what we said a moment ago, since you, if it's a depression in the sea, you can't see the walls, and whenever you can't see the walls, it's not a Rishus HaYochid. Also, Tosfos makes the point that this that we said, that when it's full of peiros, it's no longer Rishus HaYochid. Tosfos says it's only the type of peiros that you can't remove. Because it's type of fruit that you can remove, it won't lose the shem Rishus HaYochid. Just take out the fruit. So Tosfos is talking about peiros that are tevel, that trumas and maasis weren't removed from, and are muksa, and you're not allowed to take them out of the pit. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says that even if they're peiros that are not muksa, but I decided to leave them there all of Shabbos, that becomes their place, and it's no longer Rishus HaYochid. Says the Mishnah that we quoted yesterday in the Shir. Hazarik Abbas Bekoisel. Somebody throws an object against the wall. It's the walls of Rishus Rabbim. Lamal Masar Tfachim. If you throw it above 10 Tfachim, it Kazarik Ba'avir. Why? Because Rishus Rabbim, as we said many times, does not go above 10 Tfachim. Lamat Masar Tfachim. But if it's below Sar Tfachim, Kazarik Ba'aretz, it's like throwing it on the ground. And like we said, Hazarik Ba'aretz, Abba Amis Ischayiv, Mavidalat Amis Rishus Rabbim. Ask the Gemara of the Holy Noch. When you throw something against the wall, it's not going to stick to the wall, it's going to bounce off the wall. Answers the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, B'dvei L'Shmeina Shanina. We're talking about a sticky fig that will stick to the wall. Amr Yehuda Amr Rav Chia, Zorak L'mala Mi'asara, if somebody threw something above 10 Tfachim from the Shus Rabbim, and you have a wall, and the wall has a little crevice. The holch of the noch b'kol kolshu, and this fell into that crevice. So the question is, did what you throw, do we say what you throw through fell into Rishus HaYochid, and you'll be chayif for Rishus Rabbim to Rishus HaYochid, or do we say that since this doesn't have the dimensions of 10 by 4, it's not Rishus HaYochid? Says the Gemara, Bonon l'machloikis ramei rabonin. This is machloikis ramei rabonin. The halach is like this. We know that all doors have to have a mezuzah. But doors have to have a dimension to be mechuyev in mezuzah. They have to, a doorway is considered 10 tefachim by 4 tefachim. This could be a shaila in people's homes. Let's say you have a doorway that's an arch. So you don't have a full cut out of 10 by 4. But You could imagine, you know, all you have is an arch, but you have wall. And you can now imagine you could cut out that area. So that's called chaykikin lahashlin. Does the halacha tell us that if you have the place to cut out, it's viewed like it's cut out or not? Rameya says chaykikin lahashlin, that the halacha looks at it like it's cut out, and you have the right dimensions, and you're obligated to put up a mezuzah. The rabbanon say not. So says the Gemara, we're going to adapt that machlokes to this shaila. If you have this doorway, this doorway in it itself doesn't have the dimensions. But if I'll do chaykikin lahashlim, I will have the dimensions. So Gemara says the exact same achloikis we have as far as Hilchus Mezuzah will apply to Hilchus Shabbos. That's what Gemara says. Barnal machloikis Ramei Rabbonin. L'Rameya dam chaykikin lahashlim. So down here too, even though we don't actually have the dimensions of Rishus HaYochid, since through this imaginary cutting out, chiseling out, we could have him Chayif, you'll be Chayif for throwing from Rishus Ram to Rishus HaYochid, but in the Amr, and Chayking Lashem, that don't say that we start imagining things cut out by Mezuzah, we won't imagine it by Shabbos either, and Lai Mechayif. Tanya Nami Hochi, Zorak Lamal Masara, Vahok Venoch Bechal Koshu, Ramei Mechayiv, because he says Chaykikin Lahashlim, Vecham Patrim. Another halacha. You have sometimes, this way Rashi learns the Gemara, you have sometimes that Rosh Hashayachi, that the Rosh Hashayachi is not a straight road. There are bumps in the road. So, how much of a bump is considered a significant bump that it's already a separate area? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Teila Maslaket, if you have a little mound, then what are the dimensions of this mound? Asoro mitoich arba, v'zorot v'noch al gabav chayif. So what's the Gemara saying? If in an incline of four amos you will reach the height of ten tefachim, that's considered a significant separate area, and it's considered Rishus HaYochid. Now, there's a shaila, what's the Rishus HaYochid? Is the whole incline Rishus HaYochid, or just the top? It's Machlokes Reb Chaim Brisker and the Chazon Ish. There's another question. How do you measure the incline? Do you measure the incline, the slope, or do you measure the incline as if it was a straight line? It would be, a slope takes up more room than a straight line. So when I'm measuring the Dalet Amis, do I measure the slope? And as long as the slope, if the slope is Dalet Amis, then it's Rishus HaYochid. If the slope is longer, it's not. Or do I measure as if it was a straight line from the top of the slope to the beginning of the slope? Machlokes Chazon Ish and Mishnah Berurah. Tanya Nami Hochi, similar halacha. There's halacha, we explained this once, that the way their streets worked was they had alleyways that led into Rishus Rabbim. And you're not allowed to carry from Rosh Hashanah into a Mavui without making Shtufim Mavois, which is a form of an Erev. Mavui is a L'Toichai, but not the Madron Rosh Hashanah. What's going to look if the Mavui is straight, but the entrance to Rosh Hashanah is an incline? Oi, Shavu Rosh Hashanah, or the entrance to Rosh Hashanah is straight, but once you enter the Mavui, but not the Madron L'Toichai, the Mavui itself has an incline. Oi, the Mavui, so the Bryce tells us, since it has this type of incline, it's considered a separate area and will not require all of the halachas of shtufim avoyis, lo tzarech lechiv, lo tzarech karim. Rav Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, tel ha-mislak v'asar mitoich arba. Again, he repeats, if an incline of 10, an incline of 4, you have a height of 10, v'zorek, and somebody threw from Rishus Rabbim, v'zorek, and nachal gavim, and it lands on top of it, chayiv, because it's considered you threw from Rishus Rabbim to Rishus HaYochid. Now, what's going to be if the incline is more than 4? The incline is 5. So Rashi says that once the incline is more than 4, it's considered part of the Rishus Rabbim, because that's the way it works in the street. The street isn't always flat, it goes up and down. And as long as the incline is not that steep, it's just considered bumps, ups and down in the Rishus Rabbim. Other Rishonim disagree with Rashi and say that if you have an incline of 5, true, it won't be a Rosh Hashanah because it's not that significant, but you can't call it part of Rosh Hashanah and it'll be a karmless. Says the Mishnah, Zorok L'Toich Dalet Amis. If somebody threw something, he threw something within Dalet Amis and Rosh Hashanah, Niskalgal Chutzal Dalet Amis, and then it rolled outside of Dalet Amis, Potter, because you intended for less than Dalet Amis, and the halacha to be chayiv is that it has to be, as we said many times, Dalet Amis. Chutz l'Dalet Amis. You threw something outside of Dalet Amis. And the way Rashi is explaining the Gemara, it never even landed. Interesting. It just, the wind kept it for a moment in the air, stationary, And after that one moment, that fleeting moment that it was stationary, then it came back into your Dalet Amos. But since for a second it was in a state of Hanocha, in a state of stopped, you did Haitzah, you did Havar Dalet Amos, and even if afterwards when the Skagel or Toich Dalet Amos, it comes back into your Dalet Amos, you're Chayif. Ask the Gemara V'holoi Noch. In the second case that we said Yechayiv, it never came to a full rest. Om Rabbi Yochanan, v'hu shenocha gabi mashehu. So Rashi explains, this way Rashi, we're going to learn the Gemara with Rashi, not that it actually came to rest. It came to stop. V'hu shenocha gabi mashehu doesn't mean it came to rest, it came to stop. Tanya nami hochi, zor chutzu dal amas, if you threw something outside of dal amas, v'doch fosa haruach, the wind keeps on blowing it back and forth, it never stopped Potter, because it never came to a state of stop. And as we've been saying, you can't have Haitzah without Hanocha. However, if it's the wind stopped it, even for a second, Mashu, just for a second, even though right afterwards it comes right back into your Dalet Amos, but since for a fleeting second it was in a state of stop outside of Dalet Amos, Chayiv. Why? Because he did the Havar Dalet Amos. Omer Rava, Toich Gimel Rabbonon, if the Rabbonon that disagree with Rav Meir and don't agree with the concept of Kluta Mishal Huncha, and they say, well, let's just review a Gemara we learned the other day. Kluta Mishal Huncha is a concept that Rav Kiva introduced, that something comes into the airspace of Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Kiva holds it as if it landed. The Rabbanan disagree. Says Rava, Toich Gimel Rabbanan, Tzorach Hanocha Agave Mashu. It has to actually come to rest on something, even though it's Toich Gimel. Yos Mareim V'Kamal Olah Hashmatza. Amalei Ravina La'Meima, Lav Hainemas Nisan. Isn't that our Mishnah? V'am Rabbi Yochanan, V'hush, and that says, what do you call it, that it has to come to rest. So what do we learn in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is not saying that it came Toich Gimel. Our Mishnah is saying that as long as it came to rest. Amalei Misgalgal Kamrit, you can't ask a question from Misgalgal to this case. Misgalgal ain't Soif Lenuach. In a situation of Misgalgal, it's not going to come to rest. Aval hai, kiven the soifle nuach, afgav de loinoch, command the nonach dame. It's different when something is being blown by the air, and that's why you chayif. So let's just review this Gemara. The Rabbanan don't agree with the concept of kluta. The Rabbanan say it has to actually come to rest. If it doesn't come to rest, according to Rabbanan, you're not chayif. And Rashi says a very bechiddush. The halacha is, let's say somebody does a malach on Shabbos b'shoigig. To be chayiv a karban chatas, he had to be a shoigig until after the malach was done. So let's say something came within gimel tefachim of the ground, and before it actually came to rest, he realized, oi, I did haitzah, he won't be chayiv a karban chatas, because the whole malach wasn't done b'shoigig. Now, the Eretz Tzvi, and what's the Gemara saying? We don't accept the concept of Kluta, and has to come to rest within Gimel. What does it have to come to rest on? Agabe Mashu, even on the smallest item. Ask the Eretz Tzvi, I don't understand. If you accept that something doesn't have to come to full-fledged rest on a Choshva place, so then you should hold of Kluta, you should hold of Lovet. If you do hold of it, so then why does it have to come to rest on anything? Here it says, you're combining Lovet with Nocha Gabe Mashu. She says, either or. Either you should have to have it come to rest, or you shouldn't have to have it come to rest. What's going on that it has to come to rest, but just Agabe Mashu? So the Eretz Tzvi, the Kozel Gavarov, says a very bechiddush. He says, in order for love to work, it has to have some sort of Hanocha. It doesn't have to have a full-fledged Hanocha on a Dov Choshev. As long as it has Hanocha Gabe Mashu, then love could kick in. But if he doesn't even have any type of hanocha, then love it can't kick in, and you're not chayif. Says the Mishnah, Hazorit b'yam arba amis, potter. If somebody throws something in the sea, Dalet Amos is potter. Why? Because the sea is not considered Rosh Hashanah, where the halacha is that if you mave Dalet Amos and Rosh Hashanah you chayiv, the sea is considered a karmos. However, if you have a puddle of water, very common case, you have a puddle of water in the Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah halachas boy, Hazorg L'toycha Dalet Amos chayiv. It's still considered part of Rosh Hashanah, and the halacha will be that if you throw Dalet Amos you chayiv. Says the Mishnah, the kamu rakat mayim, how much is considered a puddle of water? Pachs mesar tfachim. It has to be less than a sar tfachim. But once you have a puddle that's a sar tfachim deep, I mean, if you have a very deep puddle in the Rosh Hashanah, that puddle will not be considered any more part of Rosh Hashanah. Now that puddle will be considered a Rosh Hashanah. Says the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to talk about that. Very good question. Rekak mayim, Rosh Hashanah ma'alakas boy. The Mishnah seems to be repeating itself. If you have a puddle of water where people are walking through, Hazorik b'toycha Dalet Amos chayiv. And right away the Gemara is going to ask, this is seemingly a repetition of the same din. So the truth of the matter is, the Mishnah says two things twice. One thing is the Mishnah teaches us twice about hiluch, walking. And second thing is that the Mishnah talks about a rekak twice. And the Gemara is going to ask, why do we repeat these dinim? Amlehum mirabon l'rova. Bishlam hiluch hiluch trei zimni. The reason the Mishnah talked twice about the concept of mahalechas boy to teach us hakamashman hiluch aydei tchak shmei hiluch. That if somebody, people walk through it, even though it's not great, you don't want to walk through puddles, it's still considered that you're walking through it, and it doesn't lose the status of Rosh Hashanah. Tashmis Ayidei Tchak, the halacha is that let's say you'll have a pit that's 9 tefachim deep, that since it's full of water, it's not considered. We spoke the other day, if you remember, about a pole. A pole that's 9 tefachim in Rosh Hashanah that we said has a din of Rosh Hashanah. Saying here that a pit that's 9 tefachim deep will not be considered a separate Rosh Hashanah. Ela rekak rekak trei zimni lamali. Why did the Mishnah have to teach me the din and describe this puddle twice? And so the Gemara is going to say three terutzim. The first terutz is chav b'maisel chama v'chav b'maisel shamim. I had to teach it for the winter and I had to teach it for the summer. Why? V'tzrichi. Well, I have to teach it separately for the winter and the summer. Dita nechada. If I only would have said rekak once, the puddle once, have mina hanimil b'maisel chama. You know why a puddle does not lose the Rosh Hashanah status in the summer? Because a person doesn't mind walking through a puddle in the summer. It's a hot day. People will walk through to cool themselves off. Ava Moisig Shamim. In the Moisig Shamim, no one needs to be called off. In the winter, we're cold anyway. So therefore, the Rekak should lose the status of Rosh Hashanah. On the other hand, you could say just the opposite. Your clothing is dirty anyway. So people like, what do you call it, loyich b'slehu. They don't mind walking through the rakak, and that's why the rakak remains Rosh Hashanah. Where people's clothing are clean, I would say that nobody's going to walk through a puddle, and therefore it should lose the status of Rosh Hashanah. That's why I had to speak about both cases. That's the first teretz. Abayama, istrich. I had to say rakak twice. I would think if I only mentioned the rakak once, it's only rakak to have a Dalet Amos. That's not Dalet Amos wide. So a person will rather walk through it than walk around it. Avol heicha to have a Dalet Amos. If it's very wide, a kufi makfiluhu. People will walk around it, and therefore it should lose the status of Rosh Hashanah. Kamash Malon, that even if it's Dalet Amos wide, it still has the status of Rosh Hashanah. Ravashi says a similar teretz. Itzrich. Sakadat Chamina, Hani Mili, when is Rosh Hashanah? Heichid Ahava Dalet. Strictly when it's Dalet Amos. Just the opposite. Aval, Heichid Ahava Arba. If it's not Dalet Amos wide, others say not Dalet Tvachim. It makes a little more sense. Mifsi Pasi, what do you do? If there's a puddle, So we're dealing with a situation that the person's not, we're assuming that people won't walk around the puddle. But if the puddle is not that big, nobody really wants to walk through a puddle. So what will you do? You'll jump over it. So if you're going to jump over it, it should not have the status of a Rishus Rabbim. So just the opposite. Before we said if it's bigger, it's certainly Rishus Rabbim. If it's smaller, it's, if it's bigger, it's maybe Rishus HaYochid. If it's smaller, it's Rishus Rabbim. Now we're just saying the opposite. When it's smaller, people don't walk through it. And when it's bigger, you can't jump over it, people walk through it. But it's two sides of the same coin. Kamash Mulan, no matter what the size is, it retains the Shem Rishus HaRabbim. Vaz Ravash Latameh, Ravashi says the same concept. The Amar Ravashi, Haiman de Zorik v'noch aguda de gamla mechayiv, Shirai Rabbim Boykimba. What does this mean? Let's say you have a bridge. Their bridge wasn't made out of steel. Their bridges were made out of planks of wood. Let's say you have one plank of wood that is loose. So people walking over the bridge, they didn't have cars over the bridge, that walked over the bridges, are not likely to walk over that plank. Because it's loose, you don't know what can happen. So now, what happens if you throw something onto that plank? Is that plank still considered part of the Rishus HaRabbim or not? So Rav Ashi says, even though normally people, when they get to that plank, they just jump over it, that doesn't make that plank, it obviously wasn't too big, that doesn't mean that that doesn't make that plank lose the status of Rishus HaRabbim. Why? Because since it's in the Rishus HaRabbim, since it's in the bridge, it's part of the bridge and it's part of Rishus HaRabbim. Here too, the puddle, even though the puddle is not that wide, and people when they get to it normally jump over it, it's still considered part of Rishus HaRabbim and has the din of Rishus HaRabbim.
Each plank was though less than 40 roughly.
Each plank was obviously. Says the Mishnah. Hazorik min hayam labosha. If somebody throws something from the sea to the yabosha, umne yabosha lo yam, from the earth, from the ground to yam, umne yam lo sfina, from the ocean to a boat, umne sfina lo yam, or from a boat to the ocean, umne sfina lo chaverta, or from one ship to another ship, peter. Let's explain this. The yabosha is considered Rishus HaYochid. The yam is considered a karmelus. And since the yam is considered a karmelus, that's why it's what do you call it, you're not chai, because you're going from a karmelus to Rishus HaYochid. The sfin is also Rishus HaYochid. That's why when you go from the yam to the sfin, or from the sfin to yam, it's again Rishus HaYochid to karmelus. I mean, a sfin al sfin is from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid, and that's why in all these cases you're potter. Shvino is kshur zubazu. What about if you have two ships tied to each other? And we're going to learn in the Gemara, certainly if the two ships are owned by two different people, metatlin mizulazu, you could carry from one to the other, if they're tied to each other. Why? Because if they're tied to each other, you have one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid, and they're tied, so we're not concerned that it's going to fall into the yam. However, if anything shoes, if they're not tied, apish mekafis, even though they're right next to each other, Mekafis here means next to each other. Ain metatlin mizulazu, you can't carry from one to the other, even though it's from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid. And even though, let's say, I own both ships, or even though, let's say, I have a Ruvi Chatzeres, because since they're not connected, I'm concerned that it may fall into the Yam, and I'm going to carry from the Rishus HaYochid to a Karmelus. Now the question is, why is a Yam, why is an ocean considered a Karmelus? So why it's not a Rishus HaRabbim is pretty obvious. Something that we've been speaking about for the last week. A Rishus HaRabbim, we follow the characteristics of what was a Rishus HaRabbim in the Midbar, and a Yam certainly doesn't have those characteristics. It doesn't have Tezayin Amma, it doesn't have roads. We spoke the last couple of days a lot that a Rishus HaRabbim really should have 600,000 people. A Yam doesn't have 600,000 people traveling in it. So why it's not a Rishus HaRabbim is pretty obvious. But why isn't it a Rishus HaYochid? It has walls encircling it, and therefore it should be Rishus HaYochid. So there are two answers given by the Rishonim, and they have halachic nafkamina. One is that whenever you have an area, even if it's enclosed by mechitzas, but it's so large that you can't see the walls, then it's not a Rishus HaYochid. So you're dealing with an ocean. Somebody standing in the middle of the ocean can't see the beach. So even if it has mechitzas, it won't have a halacha of a Rishus HaYochid. But according to this, Let's say it won't be the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean. It'll be a smaller body of water where you can't see the mechitzas, a lake, and maybe a rishus hayachid. Another explanation given the Paiskim is because the beach doesn't have the halachic parameters of a wall. What are the halachic parameters of a wall? We learned it on an aleph. Telem aslakit asara mitoich arba. It has an incline of 4 by 10. But what would that mean? Let's say you have a very steep beach that does have these dimensions. Then that yam may be a rishus hayachid. Where will be a nafkamina? Nafkamina will be a swimming pool. A swimming pool should be a rishus hayachid. A swimming pool may be a rishus hayachid. Says the Gemara. Itma, Svina. So now the question is like this. Under what circumstances can you take something off the boat into the water? Or more importantly, if you're on the ocean and you want to get water onto your boat, is there any way of getting water from the ocean onto your boat? So a karmel stursha sayachit. Rav Huna Amma might see men as this called shumimali. All you have to do is take out a little piece of a stick and that's enough. A hecker, making a sign. Rav Chizda Rav Rav Huna Amma oisim mokam arba. You should take 4 planks of wood and make like a box, or mamale, and you should carry the water through that makeshift 4 walls. And the machlokes rishonim, if you just need 4 planks, or those 4 planks have to be 10 long. So now the Gemara explains each shita. And Rav Huna Amma might see men as this kol shehu mamale. He says just take out a little stick and it's enough. Why? Because he holds karmelus ma'ar meshchinen. Where does the karmelus begin? Karmelus begins at the ocean bottom, at the bed. Anything above 10 tefachim, if a rishus rabim doesn't go above 10 tefachim, a karmelus doesn't go above tefachim. So avira mokim p'torhu. So therefore, anything above 10 tefachim in the yam is already a mokim p'tor. For a mokim p'tor to rishus rabim, to rishus hayachid, you're allowed to carry. So really, says Rav Huna b'din hu b'ziz nami loy l'boy, I should be allowed to do it straight and easy. El kehecha delav le'akeira, we want you to recognize that you're not carrying directly from the karmelis, so we tell you to put out this ziz. Rav Chizda Rav Rav Huna amri, oysamakam arba mali. He says you have to make these 4 things. Why? K'sarva karmelis misfasik ma'ayi b'shkinen. You don't measure from the bottom of the sea, you measure from the top of the water. That's the karmelis. So you're taking water from the top of the water to the boat, you're taking it from a karmelis. Maya aris michta, because it's all considered one piece. Eli ovid makam arba, if you don't make this makeshift, you're carrying from the yam, which is a karmelis, to the boat, which is just a yachid. Amalei Rav Nachman Rav Baravua Rav Huna Dama Maitzi Menizis Kol Shum Emalei, that doing this is enough. Zimnan Deleka Asara. Sometimes, why do we say it's okay? Because the yam is deeper than 10, and anything above 10 tefachim from the bottom of the ocean is already makom p'tor. What about if the yam isn't that deep? So and that area is already a karmelis. So we're gonna, and you're not making any new rishus hayachid, just doing a ziz. So it's come atop rishus hayachid, karmelis rishus hayachid. Omle gamin and ain't svina malachs with pachs miasara. No big ship, a svina by definition is a big ship, and a big ship never goes in water that's too shallow because it's gonna get stuck. Ask the Gemara of Amursha Islay. The front of the ship, if you ever see a boat, the front goes up. So since the front goes up, it could go in shallow water because it won't get stuck. There are people that go out like feelers. They used to have a stick in the front of the boat, which is a measuring stick, that made sure that even the front of the boat never went into shallow water. Because once you get the front of the boat into shallow water, there's a concern that the rest of the boat's going to follow. So no part of the boat ever ended up in shallow water. And since we say we measure from the bottom of the sea, we're never going to be... and we're taking the water from the tap, we're never going to be taking from the karmelis, which is the bottom 10 tefachim, to the svina, which is a rishus hayachid.